Greetings, greetings, everybody. How's it going? Ladies and gentlemen, today's podcast, it's going to be a good one. We're going to talk about something very, very important, near and dear to me, which is the good, the bad, and the ugly of clinical trial studies, right? That's why you see me in all draped in black today, because today we're talking about the dark side that don't nobody want you to know about of clinical studies. So without further ado, stay tuned and let's roll that cue. So the priceless question is this: how are average people like us that play by the rules, going to school, listening to our parents, having to just settle in life, working day to day to make ends meet, but how are we now making above average income, getting massive cash flow, and having the time freedom to do what we want, when we want, and how we want? That's the real question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Maurice Trimble Jr., aka The Rich Lab Rat, and welcome to Clinical Study Secrets. Hope everybody is faring well. Maurice Trimble Jr., Rich Lab Rat here, and welcome. Welcome to episode 4 of the Clinical Study Secrets podcast. We got a good one. We got a good one for you today. Being that I'm actually, as you can see, where I am, Madison, Wisconsin, here in the airport setting, just relaxing in the lounge. And since we're talking about the bad and the ugly of clinical studies, I had revelation, if you will, of something that happened before in my past with clinical studies, and mainly it was dealing with bad experience. So I figured, hey, why not share? Because on this podcast, we talk about all the real, all the serious. We bar none here. I clinical study seekers, me and my team, and I asked them, what did they think about it? And they say, yeah, you should definitely share that. Not only that, I also have a special guest that I'm going to bring her on for the audio. She's not here where I am right now. Thanks be to technology, even though she's far, far away. She's in 1,800 miles away, Las Vegas, Nevada, right? My homeland. But I'm going to get her on the actual podcast. I'm going to get her audio. I'm going to have a phone conversation with her. Take that audio. Put it in this podcast. So it'll be the audio I'm going to take with her as I'm here in Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm going to take it and put it on a podcast so it could be able to share some value for you all. But yeah, I'm here pretty much just to give you the backstory of about what I want to talk about in this podcast. So I'm here in Madison, Wisconsin. There's a clinical trial here for TREA, $15,000 clinical study for 30 days. I think it's close to 16,000, actually. It's 15,800, so 15.8K, right? And that's a beautiful study, pretty good study, right? But this is for all the newbies. I remember being here in the ambience. There was a situation to where it was plenty of times where I can remember when I think back in my early beginnings where I didn't have the funds, you know? So let's talk about some of the bad and the ugly side. So for some of these clinical study trials, you're going to have to make sacrifices. And what I mean by sacrifices, sometimes sacrifices in terms of traveling to the clinical study, sometimes sacrifices in terms of the time away from your loved ones, friends, family, your spouse, right? Kids, especially, that's a big one, right? Kids, right? We all want to be there for our children, but sometimes we need to do what's best for them, even if they don't think it's best. And sometimes that deals with the sacrifice, right? Definitely the sacrifices is something that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but I want to talk about it because it's very important. There's been plenty of times I remember, if we all seen a movie, if anybody has seen a movie, The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith starring in it. I remember it was a scene where they were in the bathroom and they didn't have a place to stay. His wife had left him and he didn't want to stop his course of action, what he was planning on doing and what his destiny, what his goal was, right? So he had to sleep in the bathroom. He locked the door. It was knocking on the door. Hey, what's going on in there? I believe it was in the subway, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he had to be staying the night with his son in the bathroom because they made it too late to the homeless shelter to stay the night. And because he couldn't stay the night, the line was too long, they made it too late. One of the scenarios, can't fully remember, such a long time ago. But he had to stay the night in that bathroom. And it's like, wow, I remember that. I remember a couple of studies I was looking to get into, right? Because the reality is that sometimes you're going to have to travel to come to some of the studies. The best studies sometimes aren't always going to be in your backyard. They're not always going to be where your city is, where your market is, right? So a lot of times I had to travel. In my scenario, it was Texas. It was Texas because I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. And at this time, we're talking about 11, almost 12 years ago, they didn't even have but one study I know of, really, which is Novum Pharmaceutical. Now they have PBD, now they have some others that they didn't have that before. So at this time when I had to travel to Texas, multiple times I had to travel there and I didn't have the funds. So what did I do? Well, a lot of times I stay, hence as you see, at the airport. You know, I stay at the airport, stay overnight. A lot of times if it's a 24-hour airport, it's okay. They didn't bother you, right? But what a way of having a sacrifice, right? You know, you're used to being in your bed, you're used to being in some kind of, whether it's an Airbnb, whether it's a hotel, friends, family, whatever have you, but to just stay at the airport because there was nowhere to go. Plenty of times I had that happen. There has been times when there's hotels next to a study facility in Austin, Texas called PBD. A lot of hotels. Usually in a lot of the clinical studies, they're, a lot of times they're near the airport. And there's always going to be times where these clinic facilities are near a lot of hotels, a lot of extended stays, short stays. A lot of times nowadays you got Airbnbs. So it's a lot of that. So, man, just thinking back 10 years ago, it was tough because a lot of times some people would sleep in their car. I remember a couple of occasions I had to do that, right? I go to the study facility. I'd be on the actual grounds of the facility and sleep in the car overnight until the check-in of the morning. Because you got to figure, you're getting a lot of money that they're paying, right? $5,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, right? For these long stays. Sometimes, I mean, they got the short ones too. You know, $2,000, $3,000 for like a week or $4,000 or $5,000 for a week and a half, 10 days, something like that. Really, really good pay, but comes at a cost. Right? Especially if you had to travel to get there. So this is for the newbies. I'm making this podcast for those that are new to this. Hopefully this information helps you so you know that, hey, you know, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. But then again, at the same notion, you do want to be able to know that there's a such thing as high risk, high reward. Right? High risk, high reward. So you have to know that. Without no sacrifice, you know, there can be no progression. There's going to have to be a time you're going to have to make a choice, you know. A lot of celebrities have done this. A lot of actors, a lot of superstars, people that we look on TV right now, don't think that nobody has come for they didn't have to have a sacrifice, where they didn't have to do what they might not wanted to do, what is uncomfortable to do, but to get where they wanted to be, where they're very much so comfortable in life right now. And that happens. So, wow, when I think back, I think about that, like this airport, plenty of times, not this airport per se, but there's been times when many airports, Austin Airport, Dallas, Love Field, Austin Bergstrom, Las Vegas, so far as McCarran. Well, now it's called Harry Reid. That shows how that shows how old I am, right? Back then it was called McCarran. Now it's called Harry Reid. And Orlando Airport to go out to Treya, Daytona Beach. There's so many. So far as Arizona with Sky Harbor, right? So California, I mean LAX. I mean, there's so many. But, you know, because you travel. Not to mention the East Coast, the East Coast and the Midwest ones, right? So, but yeah, I wanted to share that because there's going to be times when you're going to be faced to have to make a decision and have to make a choice. You'd be like, hey, should I do this? I'd say, if I were you, what I would do, never put your eggs in one basket. That's a study secret for you right there, right? If you go and have to travel to get there for the screening, which is when you go there and you do all your labs, your blood work, your EKGs, your vitals for your blood pressure cuff, your blood draw, when they got to take your blood because they got to see what's in your blood, if there's any drugs, right? Your urine, got to give urine so they can also do more blood testing, drug testing, things of this nature. You know, that's sometimes one visit. You got to fly there and then you got to fly back, or you got to drive all the way there, put the gas in it for that, and then to come back, right? Sometimes some people take a bus there if there is a situation where you can do that. But all of this takes planning. That's the thing. You want to think of this like chess, right? You got to plan your moves ahead. Got to be moves ahead, right? Don't be caught in a situation to where you're last minute and hoping that it works out. Because these are the horror stories. These are the bad and the ugly that people talk about when they talk about having I had a bad study experience. Well, they're talking about that because they had a bad experience. Like they had a black eye from that experience of the study we gave them. That doesn't mean hence that's going to be the same for you. That doesn't mean it's the same for everybody. Because I've had no bad experience. At all, it was just a learning experience. You know, I do a lot of personal development. Napoleon Hill, Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, Earl Nightingale, Andrew Carnegie, Brian Tracy, Bob Proctor. Many, many legends of the old that we've heard of some of these names. Mr. Robert Kiyosaki and his wife, Kim. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, of course. Rich Mom. Right. And you hear a lot of these stories in terms of how they help you to deal with personal development. You know, because you know, your income can't really grow more so than how you grow, right? The more you want your income to grow, the more you have to grow. Personal development. Secret number two, I want to share with you all. I highly feel that people should get a lot of personal development in their life. Whether you read the books, whether you get the video, somehow get that literature in your cerebral. You have to get it there because if you don't have that in your mental faculty, you're not going to be mentally strong to deal with the woes and the pitfalls and the things that's going to happen. Because there's going to be some things that's going to happen, right? You got to be able to deal with that. And like I said, it just helps you to be mentally strong and helps you to be able to deal with these pitfalls as they come, these roadblocks, right? The travel is very, very huge. Because a lot of times you got to go to these facilities two times. You got to go one time, which is to get there. You got to go another time. That's just the screening. Then you got to do the second time, which is for the check-in, right? And what happens if you don't get in? You got to think about that. Sometimes I'd have to book a round trip because if I didn't get in, I got to be able to have that trip to get back, right? But if I did get in the study, then I'm good. I don't have to worry about coming back. So even though you might say, well, I wasted money on that ticket. Again, you got to play chess. This is not checkers. This is chess, all right? Sometimes you spend that money to get there round trip, but you got to secure yourself to come back. Now, if you're in the study, you're going to be making so much money per day that that money that you're making is going to more than enough pay for what you've lost in terms of the study. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to fret that situation, right? No fret, no worry. It doesn't matter at that point. But if you're not even in the study, oh yeah, it matters. Because how are you going to get back? What are you going to do? You don't want to be caught with your pants down, like the old saying goes. You want to make sure that you count the cost. Make sure you have a backup plan. That's huge, right? Because without having a backup plan, that's like, you know, when you play spades, you don't have a spade in your deck, right? You don't have something behind the scenes that can take care of the situation in case it all goes bad. So always have that happen. And this is where the bad and the ugly comes. You know, this is where the dark side comes with so many people talk about with the studies. They might say that, oh, studies, you don't want to do that, right? But don't listen to what other people say. Focus on you and your life, right? Because no one's going to live your life for you. YOLO, right? YOLO. You only live once, right? This is your life. So focus on what you have to do with your life to take care of your loved ones, to take care of your children if you have them or whatnot, right? To take care of yourself, because first you got to take care of yourself before you could take care of anybody else. I remember I heard that all the time. He drilled that in my head, my dad, my earthly father. My mom did too, but he made sure he did, right? So even though when they're not here anymore, I do remember that it's burned into me, it's seared into me, as many other things that they taught, right? But yeah, you have to take care of yourself before you could take care of anybody else, as children included. That's your wife or husband or your loved one, spouse, girlfriend, fiance, or whatever have you, anybody, siblings that you're looking out for. You got to take care of you. So hopefully this is valuable, right? Just know that if you follow some of these steps, you won't have those roadblocks, right? Know that when you're talking about these studies, it's not a guarantee. They always say this, right? Every single study facility, every one of them in America, they always say the same thing. No one is guaranteed a spot to dose until you dose. Everybody is a backup until you dose. They always say that, right? And it is, in essence, true. It is very factual. You know, everybody is considered a backup, meaning you're considered to where they could use you, they could not use you. Right? It's not guaranteed that you're in, unless it's a situation where sometimes, say, if you didn't get in a study before, when you come back to do another study there, a lot of times they'll have you as a priority, or they have you as a VIV, very important volunteer, like PPD does, right? So it's a situation to where you're going to usually get in. As long as your labs are good, like your health, your body, in terms of your lab work, blood work, urine, all that good stuff, as long as you're okay, no drugs, no bad stuff in your system, you're going to get in. Because they remember when you came before and you didn't make it. So usually they'll say, okay, we're going to roll you over for this next one, or they're going to let you get in the next one at the top of the list, in the top five at least, right? Because a lot of the study facilities don't want you to have two bad experiences in one go, because they know, remember, talking about the pharmaceutical industry here, you're talking about the Food and Drug Administration here, right? They understand that they don't want to have customers with bad experiences that's going to give them bad reviews, that's going to give them a bad look on the situation. So they're going to do what they can do to make sure that you don't have too many bad situations back to back to back. Okay, so I hope that helps you. What I'm going to do right now, I know I've spoken just like 18 minutes, but I wanted to share a lot of this insight. I thought it would be important. Yeah, you just want to make sure that these study facilities, that you understand how they work. Each one is different. And when you know about counting the cost with your travel, some of these things I'm speaking to you about, it's not even really about clinical studies. A lot of this is like common sense to you, to the person, right? Would you take a trip on a vacation or anywhere to see family or whatever have you without counting the cost, without thinking about a backup plan? What if your flight canceled? What would you do? Would you be stuck in a foreign country or somewhere without having a backup plan, without having a contingency plan? Of course not, right? Doesn't make sense. Of course not. So it's the same scenario. It's the same way of thinking. It's the same train of thought for a clinical study, that you're looking to put a lot of money in your pockets, into your bank account. You want to have a backup plan. You want to make sure that things don't go wayward for you. Things don't go bad, right? So remember, there is no such thing as bad studies. It's really just bad experiences that people have had about a study. And that's why they make it like it's bad. But you don't want to listen to people. You want to listen to your heart. You want to listen to the facts, the logic. So it's not just emotional, right? It's logic. You want to listen to the logic of what you feel about it as well. And it definitely helps when you have, of course, like myself, a teacher, a great teacher, a great guide, someone that helped you to know how to do it without, you know, going into these roadblocks, to circumnavigate the pitfalls, if you will, right? You don't want to hit that brick wall, you know, as you're going full speed ahead with these studies, full throttle for your success. So with that being said, I do have a special guest for you all. Like I said, I'm going to bring her on, special guest, and she's going to tell you about her experience. And I think it's a good one to share with, especially with my newbies, people that are new to this. So hope that you all get some value from that. With that being said, stay too blessed to be stressed. Always obsessed with success. And as we say here, smile and say cheese, because we're going to show you how to get that cheese. All right? Stay tuned. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Clinical Study Secrets Podcast, Episode 4. And me being your host, Maurice Trimble Jr., the Rich Lab Rat, and I have my special guest, Jasma Smith, here. And Jasma is going to be able to help share a lot of light to all of you about, so far, just about clinical studies. You know, the bad, the ugly, the dark side, just the different things that can go with it, even though it is all good. But, you know, nothing in the world is just all good. There's always going to be pros and cons to everything. So
Without further ado, I'm going to give the floor to Jasmine. We're going to be interviewing her, so I don't want to talk too much. Hey, Jasmine, welcome, welcome.
Hi, Mr. Trimble. Thank you so much for having me here on your wonderful platform for your podcast, for your clinical studies. You're doing a great work.
Thank you. It's good to have you. So how are you faring today? Too blessed to be stressed over there? You good?
Yes, too blessed to be stressed.
How's the weather out there in Vegas, right? Las Vegas?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a nice breeze. It's like 82 degrees right now.
Yeah, you're in my homeland. You said 82?
82 right now. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, where
it
I'm
hasn't
at.
Reached its peak.
Oh, okay. Yeah, summer's just dying out a little bit. Yeah, where I'm at, Madison, Wisconsin, it's 55, except I saw it's like 50 with the little breeze. That's nice.
Wow.
I haven't felt that in a minute. So the fall has already started to be apparent here, you know, so it's definitely not Vegas where you at in the desert over there, in my homeland. Like I said, I like to share a lot of different stories of other people, not just my perspective, even though I'm, you know, a veteran at this, but I like to share with other people's stories, other people's insights, perspectives, what their experiences is as well, you know, so people new that's been doing this, they're new to this, like a newbie, have never done it before, or people that have done it a lot, they're veterans, that they'll get just not my take, but other people's take, you know what I mean?
Right, I understand. And, and especially it gives the individual to not have a biased point of view, just from your point of view, but from other individuals. So they know that these clinical studies is something that could be profitable and that how other people have actually gained a living for it.
Yeah, it's very, very, very true. Very true. Yeah, so I just want to ask you a few questions, 3-4 questions, all right, if you don't mind.
No,
and and just definitely tell me what's your take on that. So question number one, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So what went on in your mind, like when I first told you about studies? I remember I told you about studies, what was that, like 3 years ago or something like that, like I think. So what went on in your mind when you first heard me talk about it?
I was amazed of how an individual can participate in clinical studies, take a medication that could be processed through the FDA based upon the actual research that they find from the participants. I was excited, especially for the amount of money of these different screenings or different studies that they have. You can start up at minimum of $2,000 to like maximum, for what I saw when I was looking into it, was $45,000. And I'm like, wow.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Sometimes that's even more money than what a person may get within a year, the $45,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Just for participating in a study. So I was excited.
That money is a motive sometimes, huh?
Right. I didn't have to be persuaded or, you know, just based upon the facts, the factual information that you told me was enough that sold me.
Yeah. I understand. So some people, it's foreign, not only foreign, but it's unbelievable to some. They don't think that it pays that much money. I mean, you're talking about $2,000-$3,000 for a good week. Remember I told you the way the scale usually goes for the veterans, how we look at it, $2,000-$4,000 sometimes for a week. If it's a couple of weeks that you're going to be in-house in there, you know, $5,000-$6,000. If it's 3 weeks, you're talking about somewhere between $6,000-$8,000. And if it's 4 weeks or more, it's got to be over like $8,000-$10,000, usually $10,000 or more, $15,000, $20,000. It's those ones that pay big money. It's like usually like up to a year for something like that that's paying $50,000-$60,000 or something like that, you know? So, but yeah, you say you were shocked, right?
I was very shocked. You know, I was very shocked. And I was excited.
Okay. So let me ask you. So what, with that being said, what was your first study experience? What happened from knowing about what it could pay? What happened after that? Take me back in your mind. What happened when you first heard about it? So like, what was your steps and what did you do? What was the first study experience?
My first study experience that I had was in Texas, San Antonio, at Worldwide Clinical Studies.
Oh, clinical trials? Yeah, World Clinical Trials.
Yeah, clinical trials, okay.
WCT.
Clinical trials. And I went through the screening. Once you go in, you get a booklet, not booklet, a pamphlet where you sign up, sign your name. You go into a room in which the nurse or the doctor, the nurse practitioner or the doctor will come in and explain the different guidelines for the medication that is going to be tested on you. You have an individual that's going to be explaining about the actual study. And then from that point on, then you will have your vitals, EKG, and blood pressure. And then from that point on, you will go see a, do the physical. And then the last part is the blood draw. And that was my first study experience with worldwide clinical trials. And when I went to get the blood draw, everything else went fine. But when I went for the blood draw, my veins are really small and thin. And that's just like my natural body makeup.
Yeah, because you're like Ethiopian descent, right? So
correct. So with that being said, I was hopeful. I was optimistic, although I knew that my veins were thin or small. But I just feel that if an individual is an expert in what they do, they can achieve getting blood draws with individuals that have small veins. I went there, they looked at my veins, and they automatically mentioned to me that I wasn't a good candidate to do clinical studies because of the gauge of the needle, which is 22 gauge. And normally when I get blood draws at my doctor's office just for routine checkups and things like that, they always use a butterfly needle, but it's not the 21 gauge needle. It's the gauge for, it's a pediatric needle.
Oh, okay.
So being that said, that needle was smaller, and that's the reason why I was able to get blood draws with no problems. So I'm thinking that since that was possible for me then, that I can participate in clinical studies due to that. Didn't know that it was based upon the gauge of the needle that they use, and that not everyone used that same gauge. So that's what became, that was my experience with worldwide.
Okay. Now, mind you, of course, you know, different studies do different things, certain studies. Most of them, they stick with the same regimen, I should say. But that's not all of them. Some of them, they do the butterfly needles where they have a smaller gauge. Me being back in the days when I did phlebotomy and had to go to school for that. So I totally understand where you're coming from. It's ironic when I think back to it, right? Because I didn't think at all I'd be doing studies back in Vegas. One of the things was going to school to be an MAA. Right. And doing phlebotomy is one of the skills that they teach you as an MA, as a medical assistant, if you want to learn it. So when I went to that school for like a good, like 3-4 months, you know, little certification school type thing, vocational thing, and did that. They put me in a, once I graduated, they put me in a plasma center, which that's where they use gauge. And those gauges, I'm pretty sure, you know, are bigger. Like all gauges are different sizes for blood draws, plasma, whatever. So, which we highly do not recommend here on this podcast to anybody that's listening, okay? Right. No plasma, anything. So, but yeah, I do understand what you're speaking about with the gauge, because it depends on the person. Like when you learn that skill, and some of these individuals might come there and they don't have the knack, they don't have the skill set that they've learned, you know, because they teach you there sometimes on site. They teach you in-house. Yeah, so they got a good program teaching from what I heard, but, you know, sometimes it's different. There's some people come from medical backgrounds, hospital backgrounds, like me, the, you know, school background of phlebotomy. It's much, they give you more extensive teaching there, you know what I mean? So we had to learn all kinds of sticks, like what you're talking about. Oh, pardon that noise. I'm at the airport. After shooting this podcast here. Yeah, that's, you're going to hear the airport there in Madison here. But okay, so with that being said, so I understand what you're saying. Okay, so that was your first study experience. So that was the screening process you went through then.
Correct.
Okay, so you didn't get to the next step, which is the check-in process, right?
No, I did not.
And that was at Worldwide. You said that for your first study experience, right?
Yes, that was my first
when you went to facility, what happened then with the pitfalls? Like, what held you from actually checking in? Was it just that, or was it something else? What stopped you from like, what was the roadblocks? What was the pitfalls where you didn't be able to get into studies? I'm sure you didn't stop and give up. You kept going.
No, I did not.
So
I
what
was
was the
very
pitfall?
optimistic because I felt like that person may not wasn't able to give to do my blood draw, that it's going to be somebody else that know how and that is more equipped of doing so. So of course I did not give up. But the pitfalls and the roadblocks that I encounter initially was just the blood draws. And being that my veins were are thin and small on top of just being thin, but they're narrow. And when they actually do the blood draw, because I have veins that are more profound in different areas, like on my foot, but
You said your foot. The foot, ladies and gentlemen.
when
Good Lord. Okay, go ahead.
But when you go to
She
a
said you're gonna get that
clinical
blood
study,
any way you can get it up. I'm sorry.
you go to
I didn't want to make it funny, but I had to say something about that. You said the foot. Good Lord. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
But when you go to a clinical study, they have to, it's a specific area that they have to draw blood. So they can't just use anywhere within the body that where they can find the actual vein to get the blood draw. So that was a pitfall because in the area, which is right in the area of the bend of your arm, right below, like where the elbow connects, at that area, my veins are even smaller. So that was my pitfall. The actual needle that they use, I believe it was a 22 gauge, if I'm not mistaken, that the needle, once they puncture the vein, that it just automatically just flask because the needle was too large to get the blood from my veins due to the size of my veins. So the different areas that they attempt three times, to be honest. And I was very shocked for them to be able to try it three times, attempted to do for three times. And that was at Icon, PRA. Oh, PRA. And
Yeah, Icon
that.
PRA. Yeah, everybody knows it as Icon, but since they merged way back a long time ago, it's two companies now. PRA and Icon are two separate companies. So, but they merged. Icon is what they're calling now since they're the ones that purchased them. So everybody just knows Icon, like you said. So you had it right. But we know it, the old school individuals has been veterans. It is, we know that they're Icon PRA because it's two different companies, right? But
Okay.
go ahead.
But yeah, so that was the only facility that attempted my blood draws three times to achieve the goal, but yet it was not successful. And that was my major pitfall. I passed the physical, I passed the EKG, the vitals, the blood pressure, the height, the BMI. I even passed that. Before I even started going to screening, being that I'm already thin, I had to gain weight in order for my BMI to even meet the requirement, the minimum requirements to even participate in a clinical study. So I did the work and I just got to the point where I had to realize that my veins just wasn't applicable for the studies. And I had to be at peace with that.
Gotcha, I understand. So let me ask you this. What this all being said, so what would you think then is what would you say to individuals then that they can do clinical studies? What if their veins are good? Females, males alike, what if their veins are good? What if that's not a pitfall for them? But they're still undecisive about it. You know, there's some individuals I come across, some pretty well, a lot of individuals I come across. I know you came across some to where they've been
Correct.
indecisive, like they're on the fence about it. They don't know. They got their friends. They got their family. They got everybody telling them, don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to grow six toes or two eye, or four eyeballs or extra fingers, phalanges or whatever. Like you know, you'd be amazed at the stories. So what is, with all this being said, what you had to go through, what's your thought process? Because if you could do a study now, you would, right?
Of course I would.
Oh, okay. Okay. So
no question asked.
Yeah. So what do you say to these individuals that are indecisive about it? I mean, what's your thoughts to them?
To let go of the fear that you might have of taking a medication that is unknown or a medication that is not approved for the FDA yet.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that despite that is not, that is an actual medication that you're taking, every day individuals take medication.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of, you have individuals that may have done medicinal marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, you're getting this medicinal drug in which you're not getting paid for to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And you still don't know how it's been processed because you didn't grow it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person can do that, and yet they're indecisive of taking doing a clinical study and taking an unknown drug, then to me, it's their mindset, mm-hmm, that's hindering them. And that first you have to change your mindset for you to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the individual change their mindset and look at the positive and not look at the negative, because every day we're doing something that we don't know about. I mean, life itself is sometimes it could be a gamble based on choices that we make. So,
amen.
Being that said, I'd rather have a gamble with taking medication that can give me financial stability and to where give me freedom to where I'm not working for someone else, that I can use this money to invest in something that I want to put out to the world,
mm-hmm,
that I'm in control of. And that if any of one of you guys that are taking medicinal marijuana drugs or even drinking for that matter, that it's better for you to let it go, to be able to detox your body so your body can start making money, literally, for you, for your financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would say to those individuals that can do clinical studies, but yet they are indecisive about it.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I definitely, I really appreciate that. A lot of the listeners in the audience will really, really, hopefully they take that to heart. Because like I said, when I first, you know, told you about the clinical studies, when I told you, hey, I'm a rich lab rat, I'm a lab rat king, or you look like, huh? Like, what is that? But when you start seeing the checks, when you start seeing the money and, you know, how they loaded it up on the debit card and seeing how much, and I go cash advance it at the bank and tell her,
right,
you're like, this is crazy. You were saying like, wow. And I mean, I know you had your brother, you had other individuals, there's many people that you wanted to share this with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in the world, as I said the same thing you said. Anybody, because in the very beginning with me, I said the same thing. If it's anybody taking these things that are vices, you know, you got drugs, you got alcohol. I mean, come on, I'm from Vegas, born and raised. Okay. That's like one of the liquor capitals in terms of how much liquor goes on there in Sin City.
Right.
You know,
right.
Sin City is so much liquor and they have marijuana that's legal there. Medicinal, right, marijuana, stuff like that. They have all kinds of, what do you call those places? Where they have it, dispensaries, I think they're called. Yeah.
Dispensaries.
All over the place, and you can smell it in the air a lot of times, whether it's on the strip or wherever you're going. So, but I say it all the time, man, if that stuff's not making you any money, and we're not talking about a little, mm-hmm, bit of money here, right? We're not talking about the kind of money like at a job, like kind of like the snail money, what we call it, like the slow money. You're talking about some rocket launcher, like at Elon Musk to the moon, Batman type of money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because this kind of money, think about that. I mean, man, if you're doing this and it's a habit that's not creating you those kind of funds, it's something that, I mean, I saw you do it too. You let it go cold turkey, anything that you were doing, even having the occasional drink here or there, you let that go fast, you know? And I commend you for that, right? Because you haven't went back, right? You haven't turned back to that either.
No, right? And so, I looked at it as though if these vices, what I'm doing for entertainment or the medicinal for my back tightness or muscle spasms and things of that nature, I'm like, okay, I have to find another alternative way to do it in which would not keep me from participating in clinical studies.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this is what's keeping me from gaining more money than what I'm actually making at my actual daily job, my 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
I was ready to let it go the same day you told me about clinical studies.
Yeah, and that's a pat on the back for you. That's a kudos. That's a, man, commend to you, because many people don't do that. I cannot tell you how many countless people I've come across who they don't want to let go of the habit. Oh man, I'm vaping. Oh man, the cigarettes. Oh man, the, whatever have you, tobacco. It's like, I understand these are addictions as we know about, but you know,
right.
But it's like, we all know that success is an addiction as well, right?
Of course.
You know, having a lot of money
that's
to do
a
whatever you want.
Than anything else.
Yeah, having a lot of money to take care of your obligations or whatever you want to have, that's an addiction. You know, having
right.
time freedom and you can travel the world or do whatever you want to do, vacation and spend time with your loved one, that's an addiction. Right? These are also addictions, you know what I mean? And these are good addictions, you know? I hope that everybody is just hearing what we're saying, that if you don't know about studies, if you're new to studies, if you've been doing it for a long time, if you're unsure any of these aspects, yes, I mean, this is definitely a good thing to do. Get what you need taken care of, and then you can get out. It's not something you have to stay in a long time. This is not like a prison sentence or something that you're trapped into doing this. You just get in, get what you need, get out. Is pretty much the reality. I mean, it's different things that different people want, different milestones, different goals, right? So,
correct.
Go ahead.
I agree with you on that. And a lot of times individuals may look at like, well, I don't want to go into a study for 3 weeks or be confined in a facility, or it just be the small things that they allow that to be their hang up for not participating
mm-hmm.
in it. And to me, I feel that what's 30 days if I know I'm going to get 15,000, or what's 30 days if I know I'm going to get 7,000, or whatever price that I obtain, I know that it's going to be more than what I'm making for a 9 to 5 working for a whole month. So just that being said, that
yeah.
it can be, you don't have to have it like a career. And individuals spend 30 years working for one person. And when they retire, they still don't have enough money for their pension, because you don't get your full pay, you get half the pay. And then you have individuals that still, after retiring, they still have to go back to work because they don't have enough money to just for their natural living expenses,
mm.
not to obtain the things that they actually want. It's just for the natural living expenses, the necessities. So that being said alone, I would encourage anyone, everyone that can participate in clinical studies to do it. At least try, I mean, attempt to do it one time
mm-hmm.
and see how it goes.
Yeah,
and
real talk.
It would change your life, change your mindset.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Miss Jazz. Is there anything you'd like to say in, you know, in closing to the people or whatnot? I really appreciate the value you gave. You said a lot of good gems that I hope people are listening to. Thank you for sharing. Also vulnerable, sharing your experience as well. You know, many people like to be keeping it hush hush, you know, but even though I call it clinical study secrets, I'm talking about the secrets to doing this on a professional level, on a massive level where it can change your life for the better forevermore, right? That's what I'm talking
Correct.
About, secrets, but never a secret to what we do or like, you know, like how you shared, you know, it's not a secret, you know, just being vulnerable talking about how this has happened for you, right? But just because what's happened to you don't mean that it's going to be the same for somebody else or what happened to me for somebody else, you know what I mean?
And so,
but yeah, what's your thoughts in closing? Anything you want to say?
So the only thing that I would say in my closing remarks, to give a second thought on doing the clinical studies, let go of any doubt that you may have, and go through the process, go to the screening, be adamant about it, and watch it change your life.
Mm-hmm.
For I have seen it change so many different people's lives because of the very thing that a person may lack is financials. And when you have that in order, you can achieve anything that you set your mind to. That's what I would say to those individuals. And as a closing remark, don't allow the fear of the unknown keep you from what can be promised to you.
Very true. Very true.
To have financial freedom. And these individuals in this millennial stage, that a lot of individuals are more prone to be entrepreneurs or be business investors because they don't like being told what to do. So if you have that mindset, but yet you're starting a business, you can still do these clinical studies to add more money and give you more capital. So you can use that money to make your business flourish at a faster rate than what you naturally are doing. So I encourage anybody and everyone, like I said, to participate and attempt to do it one time just to see. And then that will let go of the fear of the unknown.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it so much, Jasmine, for all what you shared. Thanks again so much, Jazz. I mean, you helped out a lot, and I'm definitely going to get this out, you know, to the people. Definitely take care of with that good sunshine and out there in Vegas. Don't party too hard now. Right. You know, right. I know it's a lot of things on your horizon, because I know you're working on some big things too, right? Some entrepreneurial endeavors.
Yes, I am.
And stuff. Yeah. So Miss Jazz is the overcomer, as we know about it. But I know she ain't want me to leak it too much. I ain't gonna say too much. I'm gonna say she's the overcomer. I'm gonna say that. And I'll make sure though, I'm gonna make sure though, seriously though, that I let, you know, all my audience know what you have coming, because you're into some special work. And what you do in terms of people with, whether it's autistic, right, or hydrocephalus, is that how you say
correct.
It?
Correct. Yeah, hydrocephalus.
Hydrocephalus and scoliosis, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and what and shunt, like the shunt situation, right, that you have, that medical procedure, right, that surgical procedure, I think it is medical, right, the shunt?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
so there's
a surgical procedure.
Yeah, so there's a lot that I know you're going to be working on, so I can't wait to see how you're going to thrive and put that out to the world to help a lot of people that's dealing with these four things I was just talking about. So I can't wait to see how you help people overcome certain things, different battles in their life and stuff. So I can't wait to see that. So I'm going to make sure I have people tag and have people in the description know what you're working on to put that out there too.
Okay.
And hopefully,
I appreciate
if you don't,
that. And I'll do the same thing for you, sir.
Yeah, and I hope that you don't mind in the near future. I want to have you back on again. You know, have you back on again and to talk more. Probably this time we're in a sit down scenario where we sit down with each other in an office or whatnot in the studio. So if you don't mind, you know, so we got to make that happen. Cool.
All right. I'll be looking forward to it. I'm looking forward for the next call to be on your podcast.
Yeah, I'll appreciate
be it. Available. Okay.
And
thank you so much for what you're doing and how you're changing the world and the mindset of putting this out there for the awareness for individuals that do not know about clinical studies. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing, and I'm very proud that you are doing this.
Oh,
sky's the limit.
With that being said, you know, we always say, you know, stay too blessed to be stressed, obsessed with success, everybody, and smile. I'll let you, Jack, go ahead into it to that. Say smile. What we say? Smile.
Smile and say cheese, and I'm going to help you get that cheese.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Thank you. Have a good one, everybody.
You want the secrets to clinical study trials? Then go get my free clinical study secrets guide at clinicalstudysecrets.com. Inside this guide, you'll see me crush the 12 false beliefs that hold people back in life, but you'll also discover how to become a rich lab rat so you too can escape the rat race.